Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
We're back. It's 12 after.
Had a very shiny nose.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride, the Red-Nosed Brain Trust member, is our guest and our good friend, at least up until a few minutes ago. She was our good friend. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back.
Now that's good music.
You like that, huh?
Finally.
Joan, well, what about Joan, the Red-Nosed Brain Trust member?
Well, I'm going to let that pass. I'll be red-nosed tonight, maybe.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And
thank you.
And on behalf of my audience, thank you for spending Christmas morning with us.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I can see that. I can see why you would be happy to be here. But and folks, just in case, Joan is at home today. She's normally conducts the interview from her office in Kiplinger. She has a big, huge corner office looking out over the White House. It's just magnificent.
Right.
But today she's at home. She's going to be hosting the family for Christmas, and that means that we might get some ambiance.
Well, I have my special assistant. Right, my special assistant is with me today. His name is Pete, and as your faithful listeners know, he's a 85-pound Labrador Retriever.
Yeah.
And when he wants to make his opinion known, he's just going to do it, and I can't stop him.
Well, and we also, since Ray's there too, we might ought to mention that we might hear from Ray today.
Well, he's snoozing, so I don't know if that's too possible, but
Ray's the other hairy one, but he's a little bigger than 85 pounds.
Pete is sitting here gnawing on a bone, so he should be quiet until the bone is
until
finished.
The bone's
and
gone,
then
right.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Joan, the good news, Kiplinger's just full of good news this week, aren't you?
The
economy is firing on all cylinders.
Wow.
What a turn of phrase. You guys are good.
I feel so much better now knowing that.
But it's true, isn't it? Lots of good news. I mean, there's good news popping up everywhere.
Well, first of all, and not an economic story at all, but having major ramifications for the economy, of course, is the capture of Saddam Hussein.
Wow.
Number one, that's beyond huge. Number two, business spending is picking up, which is what we've been sitting around waiting for how many years now? A couple of years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no, three.
In fact, three
this quarter. Fourth quarter 2000. Ladies and gentlemen,
the third anniversary.
Some of you will remember this because it was a dramatic event. And Joan, fourth quarter 2000 was when the capital spending hit a brick wall. I may have mentioned this before. I know I have on the show. I don't know if I've talked to you about it, Joan, but I have one friend in particular who said he got two phone calls in the same day from customers who didn't know each other, who said the same thing. I have to cancel my business.
With wow.
You. I cannot continue the business that I've contracted for to do with you over the next several months, and I'm not sure when I can pay you for what we've already consumed.
Wow. That's,
two phone
that's
calls
a scary day.
In one day from different people, and I've heard this from other people. Folks, that was a flashback, by the way. Don't get nervous.
This happened today.
3 years ago this quarter. It was probably sometime in November when it happened. But there was something very dramatic about fourth quarter 2000. And capital spending has basically been shut off until about 6 months ago.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. But it's back, isn't it?
And that's why we say the economy is firing on all cylinders, because that was the missing piece of the puzzle. Actually, there's another missing piece that I should mention, a surge in factory output up for the third straight month. And I think that's the important point, because that means it's not just some kind of a blip on the radar screen. It's real.
Right, exactly. And another thing that happened that helped that, Joan, was the depleting of inventories in the third quarter when we had that 8.2% growth. My economist friends with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas told me, Michael Cox actually specifically told us that 56 billion dollars and inventory got drawn down in the third quarter alone.
Gee, that's
so
huge.
That is, and for a quarter, and so now you understand, you throw in that, you throw in this expansion of capital spending, you throw in, Joan, the weakening of the dollar, which makes our exports more valuable, which makes, you know, buying our exports, they get a lot more for their money with a dollar weakening, as you so brilliantly taught us about monetary, about currency policy, currency politics and everything over the last few years. All that together, that's good news for U.S. manufacturers, isn't it?
Well, what a great Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, exactly.
Yeah.
Christmas came early, actually, for some folks.
Absolutely.
But you know, Joan, a few, probably about 9 or so months ago, we talked about, Kiplinger predicted, and a number of other people predicted, that the technology sector would see some good news in the second half of 2003, and that has come to pass too, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That's so important.
And, you know, people, hopefully we can continue to get more good news out of Iraq. That's, you know, the marketplace is such an emotional beast, isn't it, Joan? We like good news and we don't like bad news.
Right. And the market can be frustrating sometimes, because sometimes you'll have a big piece of good news that's important, but nothing will happen and the market will have factored it in, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the market, you can't please them.
The market is weird about that, because if it has any inclination about something happening, it'll build it, as you say, it'll build it in. I mean, and that's actually kind of a good thing, though, isn't it, Joan? We don't have the roller coaster a lot of times that we used to have.
Well, it's sure important when it builds the bad news in. That's
right.
Very important.
Right, no question about it. But what's weird is when we think that it's going to like some news. And when we're talking about it, folks, we're talking about the stock market primarily, largely the Dow and the Nasdaq, but really largely the Dow, the industrials. Joan, is when we think it'll like something, and then it doesn't, it goes the other way.
Right,
that's
which is
weird.
Always possible, right?
Yeah, that's the weird thing. But there's nothing but good news so far about the capture of Saddam, and because that's really, there's so many things that can be leveraged off of that fact. Even though he was pretty much neutralized, you know, for the last several months, there's the symbolism, if not the reality, is something that can also be leveraged. And we're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Joan Pride after these messages. It's 20 after. Merry Christmas. My favorite Christmas carol. You like this one, Joan?
Yes, actually I do. That's Madonna, right?
I don't know if it's Madonna or...
The original was done by Eartha Kitt.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
That doesn't sound like Eartha Kitt.
Bill says he thinks it's the original.
He says
he thinks it's the original. But
no,
I like
he's
that
drinking
one.
Too much Christmas
that's,
eggnog.
Well,
he
that's the truth. That's
about
the truth.
Now he's going to cut me off.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Merry Christmas, everybody. We're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, and we're talking about the good news. Santa came early and is still coming for the economy, and we've been talking about that. And Joan, the appliance companies, the technology companies, industrial equipment companies, they're doing great. There's more good news, Joan. Inflation is kind of rocking along at a rate we can stand. What is it going to be, about 1% or so this year, I think?
I can stand that.
Especially, Joan, when we were all wringing our hands over the possibility of deflation only just a few months ago.
Right, right. And that, apparently the Fed is no longer worried about that.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see. It's, you know, it's, folks, I know you think I don't have a life, and you're probably right. When you know those of you
trust
who
me,
know,
folks, he doesn't.
Those of you who know how much I watch the Fed, I try to watch them as a serious amateur observer of the Fed. But the truth is, it's kind of interesting, you know, and it's like sort of like watching yacht racing. You know, you have to be patient, but the thing is it's interesting to watch them. But you know, Joan, talking about deflation, I think it's important to point out that we still have deflation. We do, in fact, have deflation right now, but I think we ought to remind people that there are two kinds of deflation. There's good deflation and bad deflation. Gary Schilling, our deflation expert, has taught us this, and he writes about it in his book, which is called Deflation.
Is that like good carbohydrates and bad carbohydrates?
No. Well, sort of, I guess. Good deflation, Joan. When I bought my first cell phone, I paid $500 for the equipment back in '89.
Wow.
$500, and that was considered a good deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back then it would be.
Today, if you sign up,
and it was probably huge.
It was bolted to the floor of my car, and you know, in those days, a cell phone meant you were in your car.
Yes.
In fact, they were called car phones. But the thing is, now the cell phone that has so much more features, so many more features, so much more capability, and so much more portable is anywhere from $50 to nothing, depending on the program you sign up for.
Right. That's right.
So that's good deflation, isn't it?
Right. That's a very good example of that.
Bad deflation, though. That's deflation from productivity, from innovation, from having technology help you. The bad deflation, though, is like what happened in Japan with the real estate market.
Right. And that's a sign of a very weak and bad economy.
Right. When you have inflation is when you have what's the best definition, Joan? When you have too many.
Too many dollars chasing too few goods.
Right, that's it. That's inflation. And deflation is the opposite of that. But the bad part about deflation, Joan, is when it gets going, when the bad deflation gets going, and this is why the Fed was so worried, if bad deflation gets going, it is an ugly steamroll, isn't it?
And in the same way that spiraling inflation is, if you remember from the late 70s, once you get it started, you can't stop it. And as Japan knows only too well, it wreaks havoc with the economy and with people's psychology and the way they treat money.
Right. That emotional element we talked about. Because with inflation, Joan, as you remember, and I do too, with inflation, you buy quickly before it goes up.
Right.
With deflation, you put off buying because you're waiting for the next price drop.
Exactly.
And so the economy comes to, instead of overheating, the economy comes to a halt. And we have seen that more evident and more dramatically in our modern times in Japan in the last 10 or 15 years.
That's certainly true.
Yeah. The other good news, Joan, is that with interest rates staying low, this is good news for financing our growth, isn't it?
Well, as we say, banks are flush and eager to lend. They are interested in all kinds of industries. They're interested in manufacturing, which is huge. So that's going to really lay the groundwork for a good expansion, I would think.
Well, there's no question about it. And one of the things you point out is that borrowing from a bank will remain, you call it the most efficient source of financing for small businesses in 2004, But see, Joan, I'm gonna put a little bit of a finer point, a little finer tuning on that. It is the only source for small businesses, really. It's just good news that it's now a very efficient. But the truth is that small businesses growing their companies, you can only capitalize your business from three sources: investment, profits, and borrowings. And small business owners have very few outlets for invested dollars, even though you guys point out, Joan Kiplinger points out that venture capital will become more plentiful this year. I want to come back to that in a minute, but the truth is we don't make enough profit to fund the growth to the extent we need to grow, and so that leaves borrowing, and where we borrow our money is from banks, and so low interest
That's
rates
right.
are good news for small business. 29 after, stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas, everybody. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, that one was for you.
I like the one where the woman yells, "He's everywhere! He's everywhere!" That was me, actually.
Joan, venture capital is going to be more plentiful in the coming years, you're telling us. You know, they have been sitting on stacks of money. The venture capitalists have been. Now for about 3-4 years.
Yeah, because they've been terrified to spend any of it because they got so badly burned in the telecom craziness of the 90s.
The dot-com and the telecom, exactly. And,
right.
And but, so small business owners, I just encourage you, as I've done in the past, I encourage you to go find out about where this money is and see what it takes. Now, I will tell you this. It is not grant money. It is not money from your grandmother. It's not.
Yeah, you
got to
put out. You got to produce.
You got to have. Well, you got to have your cornflakes together before to even just get them to read your stuff.
More than ever before. But the other thing too is with small business. When we say venture capital, we really mean things like angels, which are wealthy individuals willing to fund a smaller business than probably a newer business than a true venture capitalist would. Mm-hmm. And then you also have things called SBICs, which are small business investment companies. And these are licensed by the Small Business Administration. They're great because they will finance you, I guess, in your own region and in certain industries.
That's exactly right. Well said, Joan.
Bet you didn't know I knew all that.
I'm impressed. I really am.
Thank you.
And, folks, I want to encourage you. In fact, I'm going to go there right now because I'm going to show you how to get there. If you go to SBA.gov, and let me see what they've got a new look on their site here. Let me make sure I know how to get to you to get there. Okay, look on, let me see, financing your business on the right.
Yes.
Financing your business. If you'll go there, you will see a place that on that page you'll find the SBICs. And so go there, check that out, and find out more about them. And I've seen that list, by the way, folks, and you can print it out. And what it'll do, it'll list several hundred SBICs, and it tells what they loan, how much they'll loan, if they'll do it as equity. It may be equity, or it may be debt. It may be a combination. Some of them, Joan, will enter do business with you for as low as $20,000. Some will require you to need at least $5 million, and all in between.
And the SBA is a very important clearinghouse, particularly in this regard, because when it comes to a bank, you can pretty much find banks around your area to lend, but SBICs aren't always easy to find. So the SBA performs a very important service offering this list, and you really should take advantage of it.
And they'll do they'll do several billion dollars in investment capital,
right.
As I say, which may become a loan. And so check that out. In each listing, well, they'll have a little bit of a thumbnail of how they loan. As Joan said, they may do only retail, they may be only medical, they may do only telecom, whatever. Some of them, and some of them don't. They will do a cross section of different investments.
And they often stay just in their own region too.
That's exactly. Some of them are regional. Joan, another thing I wanted to point out before we're going to talk about taxes next, but I wanted to point out before we get into that is that even Democrats are admitting that Bush's tax cuts of the summer have breathed important life into the economy.
That's right. They have.
And that's one of the reason the capital spending has gone up. But let's move on down and talk about tax planning, Joan. Let's talk about retirements. This is clearly in your wheelhouse. What do we need to be doing?
Well, you know, there's a lot of deadlines. You know, before December 31st, and that's coming up very, very soon, you got to pay attention to what's going on out there. If you have a company retirement plan, depending on which type it is, the plan must exist. It must be created in 2003 if you want the deduction for this year. And that, for example, KEO plans for self-employed individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's another kind of plan called a simplified employment plan or a SEP,
right.
If you're a self-employed individual and you want to set up one of those, you actually have until the due date for filing your tax return and plus any extensions to create it and get the deduction for 2003. So you need to keep those deadlines in mind.
Exactly. That's even more forgiving than the IRS, which you have to have to fund by April 15th. There are no extensions on that. But the thing is, the key thing to remember is to know what your options are out there with regard to retirement programs. Know what options are available to you, and make sure that if it has to be set up in 2003 to take advantage of 2003, that you do that. But also remember that the ones that you have to set up this year, in the tax year, many of them, most of them, don't have to be funded until next year. You just
to
get the paperwork done and put 100 or 200 or 500 or whatever in just to get it started. Stand
That's
by, Joe. We're
going to
take
point.
A quick...
Okay, everybody.
We're back at 17 till. Merry Christmas, everybody. And Joan Pride is our guest. Joan's with Kiplinger, ladies and gentlemen. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. They got a website called Kiplinger.com, which I encourage you to go to, as always. And also, don't forget to check out their publication, the weekly flagship, the Kiplinger Letter. They got three biweekly letters, the agriculture letter, the tax letter, and the California letter. They also have a magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. They got a phone number you can call for subscriptions. Joan, give us that, please.
That's right. It's a toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
And I don't think I've mentioned my website today. I should have, but it's...
Well, go right ahead.
I've been trying to keep things a little bit less commercial today, but I think it's important for people to check it out because there's a lot of good stuff there. Kiplinger is Kiplinger.com is Joan's website. Mine is www.jbsba.com. That stands for Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, which you can get, in which you can get my... The feature article this week is called In Defense of Scrooges. And, so Joan, are you a Scrooge?
Absolutely.
Are you?
No, actually, I like giving gifts.
You can be a Scrooge and still like... And being a Scrooge doesn't mean you're not generous, Joan.
I don't know. I don't think
that's
you can
my
have
story
both ways there, buddy.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Okay. We talked about the retirement plans. Folks, I encourage you to check that out. Because, you know, even if you wind up not using some of these programs as much as you thought, you can still get them established. But, Joan, you know, there actually is one. I'm trying to remember which one. There actually is a program for 2003 that's too late. It's already too late to do. You have to do it, like, in October or something like that. So there is one that we're actually too late on. But we told you about it in the summer.
We sure did.
Joan, health savings accounts. I'm really excited about this. This is a major, major breakthrough for the 21st century tax laws, isn't it?
Right, especially for small businesses,
yep,
who really want to offer health insurance but just can't because of the ridiculously high cost.
Right.
And
yep,
these were allowed by the new Medicare prescription drug bill.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so check this out, folks. The good news about the new HSAs is that the employers can now contribute to and employees, Joan, that was the thing. That was one of the big changes, and the contributions.
And they can set them up too. That you
yeah,
can set one up on behalf of your employee,
absolutely,
as long as they don't have a regular plan. But if they had a regular plan, why would you?
Right. Well, it might be better for them. And the other thing is, Joan, that you guys point out, and I'm glad you did, is that the contributions that the employer makes does not require FICA tax, not require payroll tax.
And that's very big.
That's huge.
That's a big incentive, I think.
It really is. It really is. Joan, is the flu outbreak going to be worse this year?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think we're kind of straddling the fence on this one. We say no, but then we say it has hit earlier than usual.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it is a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the problems is you had some media headlines, some kind of scary headlines about some tragic stories where children were dying from this flu, and I think people
yeah,
kind of panicked.
Well, it hit pretty quick, and it took some people's breath away because
hit so fast that people didn't have time to get inoculated.
Yeah, we started talking about pandemics and things like that.
Right.
But Joan, the real news is the mad cow.
Oh boy, isn't that
one
huge?
One mad cow.
Right, one mad cow in the herd, and of course they're running around saying, "Don't worry, this isn't a problem for U.S. beef." But I'm thinking, how do they know that yet?
Well, Joan, we've got to I think it is. I think it is a little bit hysteria right now. Do you know how many people die every year from getting another kind of disease in the meat that they ate? I mean, you know, this is people. There are real exposures that we all have by eating meat and vegetables. Forget. Look at the hepatitis outbreak.
That's been very bad. Yes.
Yeah, from the scallions that were brought in from Mexico. I mean, look, folks, you venture into life and sometimes you die.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be rude or insensitive.
Easy for you to say you're alive.
Yeah, but the thing about it, Joan, is this is really overblown. This mad cow thing has gotten out of hand. There's no evidence. There's no reason to believe that there's anything wrong. Anything that's pervasive in the marketplace. It's just way out of hand, and it's going to hurt some people. And as an old cattle farmer, as a former cattle farmer, it upsets me to see this happening.
Yeah.
Joan, let's. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to. We're going to wrap up the hour here. I'd like to leave the letter for just a little bit, if we could.
Sure.
I want to read a couple of things that I have on my mind. This is a blessing, folks, that I want to read in the spirit of Christmas. Blessed be the longing that brought you here and that quickens your soul with wonder. May you have the courage to befriend your eternal longing. May you enjoy the critical and creative companionship of the question, who am I? And may it brighten your longing. May a secret providence guide your thought and shelter your feeling. May your mind inhabit your life with the same sureness with which your body belongs to the world. May the sense of something absent enlarge your life. May your soul be as free as the ever-new waves of the sea. May you succumb to the danger of growth. May you live in the neighborhood of wonder. May you belong to love with the wildness of dance. May you know that you are ever embraced in the kind circle of God. Joan, that's a poem, a blessing by John O'Donohue. That's from, ladies and gentlemen, that's from Eternal Echoes. Last hour, I read to you some passages from another book of John's called Anam Cara, which means soul friend. This is from Eternal Echoes, another of John's books. Joan, I wanted to get that blessing in there because you're a blessing to our lives, Joan.
Thank you, Jim.
The time that you spend with us, your steadfastness, your dedication to small business is not lost on us. And I just wanted to read that for you, and that was for you.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. And I'm always happy to be here with you.
Well, we got another one. We got one more segment. When we come back, folks, I'm going to read the prayer, the little story that I read last hour about our military, and I want to do that again. And we'll do that when we come back. Joan's going to be with us. She's staying with us. It's 10 till. Stay with us. Merry Christmas. Fire singing carol. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us on this Christmas day. And as we wrap up the hour, by the way, Joan Pride's still with us. She's still here, and she's got some. Going to get her thoughts in a minute. But I wanted to say something, and then I want to read something. First, I want to remind everybody about our military men and women around the world standing a post in many different places around the world, especially Iraq, especially Afghanistan, and they're doing this, folks, because they want to. These are all volunteers. If you were impressed with them before, think of them. Remember that they're volunteers. They're doing this because they love liberty and they want other people to have liberty. They're putting their lives in harm's way for others, for us. No greater love can anybody have for us. And let's remember that about them. And as we read this, 'twas the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I came down the chimney with presents to give and to see who in this home did live. I looked all around, a strange sight I did see, no tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stocking by mantle, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. With medals and badges, honors of all kind, a sober thought came to my mind. For this house was different, it was dark and dreary. I found the home of a soldier, once I could see clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor of this one-bedroom home. The face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? I realized the families that I saw this night owed their lives to these soldiers who were willing to fight. Soon, round the world, the children would play and grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. They all enjoyed freedom each month of the year because of the soldiers, like the one lying here. I couldn't help wondering how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in a land far from home. Their very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees. I started to cry. The soldier awakened, and I heard a rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. I couldn't control it. I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, and we both shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure, and he whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All is secure." One look at my watch, and I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend, and to all a good night. Joan, I've been reading that. This is the seventh Christmas in a row I've read that little passage, and I don't know who wrote it. I don't know the author. I wish I did. If somebody knows, please let me know. I want to give them attribution. But Joan, that's with a son in the Marines about to go to Iraq in a couple of weeks. That's a very poignant passage for me right now.
And it's so important, because when you think about the thousands of families that are home spending Christmas without their loved one, their mother or father or sister or brother who are out there, as you say, standing a post, making sure that we can be free.
I'll tell you, Joan, I'm so awed by these people. You know, in my generation, Joan, we were drafted. There was a draft, I should say. I volunteered, but there was a draft, and there were a lot
anymore,
of people,
as you point out.
No, a lot of people who served in those days served with no less dignity, with no less honor. But many of them were coerced, so to speak. They were compelled to go. But the young men and women today, Joan, they're volunteers, as we say. And when you realize that, when you realize the agape love, Joan, that they give us by doing this, by going towards harm, and we run away from it, it's amazing, and it's really magnificent, isn't it?
And the courage is sort of beyond my comprehension. They're incredible people.
Well, and folks, I just hope that not only on Christmas Day, but every day, that your good thoughts and your best wishes and your prayers lift them up to these people. And if you know a name, say a name out loud. If you need a name, my son's name is Craig. There are many others. And I hope you'll think about them as we move through this holiday season and move into the new year of 2004. Joan Pride, thanks for making 2003 a great one, another great one. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Jim. It's always great to be here, and I will see you again.
Merry Christmas, and we'll see you on New Year's Day.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Thanks, Joan. See ya.
Okay, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post around the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Merry Christmas.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.